God is a good God. Just now when Malcolm asked that question, how many of you had a good week? It took me a while. Since the last time I was here until today, there's a lot of changes that we are going through. The winds of change have blown. Awesomely, strongly, it left a mark, it left everything, but the winds of change keep blowing. Nothing's going to stop it. Amen? And we are learning to live in that change. We are learning to walk with that change, yet knowing in that change, God is still present. Hallelujah. This morning, I wanted to do this sermon called Brokenness to be Blessed. But as I was sleeping, these few nights I don't sleep well. Anne doesn't sleep well. Every time she turns, if it's pain, she wakes up. The carer, the wonderful carer, wakes up also. Have you met that carer? Fantastic. One of the best. Honestly, I wake up, and sometimes I wake up and look at her sleeping, and I say, wow, God is so good. Just, it pictures this. When we are in life journey, God's eyes is looking on us. Amen? And I look at her, and I see her resting, and then I turn, she wakes up. She said, why did you wake me up? I said, no, I didn't wake you up. I just turned. But you know, life brought so much changes in this couple of months. Just a month, we've seen the change. We are building our resistance against a lot of the changes, but God is good. Amen. And as I was sleeping this morning, the Lord told me, said, brokenness to blessing. He said, think about this. You were broken to be blessed. I'm going to break you because I want to bless you. Oh, I said, Lord, but that's a bit too hard, Lord. I like the softer one. He said, I will break you because I want to bless you. And this morning, this word is for you, church. You sit here. God is going to break you. Thank God for breaking, because out of the brokenness, life will come. Somebody said, if the egg is broken from outside, it kills what is inside. But if the egg breaks from the inside out, life comes out. A chicken is born. Amen? So let the breaking be from within. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. This morning, I want to make an invite to you before I preach. As I was preparing this morning, I woke up quite early. I think about 4:30. My sunrise was at about 4:30. And I was just reading Psalms 131 and Psalms 91. These two Psalms have been an encouragement through this journey. And then this word came to me. And the Lord said, this morning, listen, church. He said, invite those who are broken, who know they are broken, who are feeling brokenness. Invite them into the boat that I am in. Invite them into that boat. And I said, Lord, why? He said, I'm going to take you from the shores of brokenness through the storm of brokenness and to the shores of blessing. Would you come into that boat? And myself and my family are in that boat. It's not a boat that's going to sink, because Jesus is the Lord of the storm. Amen? He spoke and the storm calmed. He walked on that storm's water. He's the Lord of the storm. Church, we're going to be tested by storms. Amen? My tests and my family are going through a test, but we are not defeated. Amen? We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I feel guilty. Sometimes when you preach or you're the preacher, you can preach top-down. And sometimes people feel that top-down kind of whoop on them. But this morning, I want you to know, I'm going to speak to you from the brokenness up. It's not a condescending, but it's an ascending message that if you are broken, I am. If you're feeling broken, I'm feeling broken. And out of that brokenness, I want to bring a word that can be a blessing. Amen? Would you journey with me as we look to the Lord in prayer? Abba, Father, thank you for life. Life is a gift. The way we live our life is a choice we make, Lord. But nevertheless, in spite of all, you're the Lord of our lives. And even as we journey through storms and tornadoes and tsunamis, Lord, you are still the Lord of our lives. Bless us this morning. Minister to our hearts. Bring hope, bring encouragement, bring uplifting. Cause us to spring and to joy in joy and shout, Lord, that you are still God alive. We live in you. Bless this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, the whole of the Psalms is a psalm is David crying out when David was on the run. When Saul was chasing David and David was running away, David wrote this psalm. It's a just 24 verses. But if you go back and comprehend it one by one, I have done a breakdown. I feel reading this for the last almost 2 weeks, ever since Anne was discovered to have breast cancer, it has just caused me to look at the word and bring encouragement to my kids, first to my wife and my kids, and also to myself. I am not super duper. I'm just like you, a man of like passions. James says that. I have emotions. I have highs and lows. I cry. I weep. I bang heaven's door. I show my fist to God. I say, God, open up the doors. I'm a man of like passions. Amen? And I preach out of the passion of my heart. But when I read this psalm, I remember David starting off the first. If you look at the first 8 verses, David cheerfully. David is a cheerful man. In spite of crisis, David is cheerful. Would you be cheerful? Be cheerful, because God is a God that doesn't want sorrow too much. And then in the second half of that psalm, David brings a complaint, which is normal. He complains, God, I'm going through this, people are this, Saul is doing. He goes through everything. And then in the last part, he talks about the triumph. You know, every storm has a triumph, a victory moment. And I read that psalms and I just felt blessed, especially Psalms 91. Wow. Under the wings of the Almighty, in the shelter of the Almighty. Wow. This morning, I want to share with you something on brokenness. Do you know we are all broken? You can put makeup, you can smile, you can say all the right words, you can cover the cracks, but you're broken. If you look at life, every day we go through brokenness. Amen? Broken in emotions, desires, relationships, promises, your career, every facet of our life, we experience brokenness. And sometimes we get into that brokenness mentality, we go down the spiral journey of despair and destitute, and we go deeper and deeper. But this morning, I want to tell you, brokenness is not a journey of despair or destituteness. It's a journey to blessings. Whatever your situation is, one moment your life can be good. Last time I was preaching and my life was good, Auntie Anne was, hey, hallelujah, we joked, we laughed. Pop! On the 2nd of July, we sit in the clinic and then you hear this. The oncologist looks at me and Anne and he said, are you guys ready? I said, I'm a pastor, I'm always ready. And he said, your wife has cancer. And I said, and I looked at Anne and I looked at me. And suddenly we both became blank. What do you say? I just held her hand. Look, suddenly I realized it's been a long time since I looked at my wife. Sometimes you see, but you don't look. See is in the passing. Look is in the details. And I looked at her and I said, wow, it hits home. It hit it into my backyard now. I prayed for so many people. And I looked at her and the doctor said this. He said, we have to make a decision now. I don't think you can go back home. Shall we do a mastectomy? And we looked and I talked to her in front of the doctor. And I said, whatever God has put on your heart, yours truly will stand with it. I said, and your breast doesn't define you. And it does not define my love and relationship to you. Whatever you do, we'll do. And we talked and we decided and the doctor said, thank you. He said, it's really good because it's invasive. It's gone into the ducts. Let's do something fast. It's a difficult decision for a female to make. Let me tell you that. It took her so much when she came back. And I said, don't worry. It's okay. Yours truly still loves you. You'll never find another lover like yours truly. Isn't that true? It's true. And so we decided, and then when we came back home, we talked in the car. That word see resonated so powerfully. How about the other see, Christ? Does it resonate powerfully in your life? You know, cancer brings fear. Christ brings faith. Amen? Don't fear the cancer. fear the letter S, sin. For that one will take you to hell. And so we sat down, we came back, we talked to my kids. Some of the kids couldn't handle it, especially the youngest one. But we, as I was telling Pastor Kelvin and Irene, I said, something beautiful happened. My eldest kid, just for your information, he prayed for N. He prayed. Now there's a blessing that came out of the brokenness. And N sat with him, talked to him, the journey of life, talked to each one of my kids, and they all prayed for her. And suddenly it dawned upon us. N used this phrase. She said, I lost a pound of flesh to win your souls to heaven. Wow, quite profound. Huh? I thought I could preach a message, but I never lost flesh yet. I put on a bit more. But you know, it brought something. My kids came together. He rallied. Today, two of my kids are with my wife in the city running to raise funds for cancer, breast cancer. And I know, friend, it's something, it's so hard to grapple. I am still grappling with it. But the fact of the matter is, God never left us. Amen? Amen. God never left us. And as we go through life in all our brokenness, remember that God is still the Lord of your life. Remember, in all the circumstances, never ever lose this. God is still the God of my life. No brokenness, no bitterness, nothing but joy to know God walks with me. Psalms 23, even though I walk through the shadow, the valley of death, you are there with me. And this morning, I want to challenge each one of you. If you are broken, don't get angry with God, please. Please don't walk away from God. You can be angry with me, you can be angry with people, but please, I beseech you, from the depth of my heart, don't walk away from God. Because He is the beacon of light in your brokenness. For when something cracks and breaks, it creates an opportunity for light to beam through. And in your brokenness, God is that beam of light that shines into you. Amen? God shines into your life. All right, that's just my introduction. But I want to tell you a little story of a farmer. You know, farmers, how many of you are farmers? I never was a farmer. I don't know about farming, but somebody sent me, he said, Pastor Mitchell, so every farmer, before he plants a new crop, has to break the ground. He has to cause the ground to be broken. If he doesn't break and he tries to plant, it dies. And therefore, breaking becomes so important to a good crop. I mean, so the farmer will break the ground. He will break it as hard as best he can. He will break it to the smallest minute. He will make sure that fallow ground becomes soil that can grow. The moral of the story is sometimes God breaks us intensively, not because you're a sinner. Nah. Maybe you have been too self-sufficient and self-reliant. He takes that away. Breaking doesn't mean you're a sinner. Please don't go to that negative. Don't think I'm a sinner that God is punishing. God, let me tell you this, it's a very biblical thing. God does not punish us. You punish yourself at the end of time. You, while you are living, you are writing out your form of punishment for the last day. So He doesn't punish you. He breaks you. And sometimes the soil doesn't be broke. It's not broken hardly because it has been broken so many times that it becomes fertile. And maybe that's why the farmer has to break it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. You know, God said that, I want a broken spirit. He did not say, I want a compact, intact. No, I want a broken one. Look at it. If you think you are compact and intact in your faith, you miss the mark. We are broken. I'm broken. And it's very not nice to be broken. We want to show people, Pastor Miso is intact, man. I am the man. But then I'm broken. And I'm not ashamed. I won't be any less a man to admit that God breaks us. And I'm going through a moment, a season, where the Lord that I love so much wants to break me. And I said, Lord, just one agreement. Just one agreement. While I was praying with Anne, I said, Lord, there's just one thing I ask of you. Do not leave us. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all through the times. Isn't that assuring? Friends may, I don't know, some friends call Anne and talk a lot over the phone and just want to know more information of what she's going through. But one friend that stays close to me is my friend called Jesus. I can ask him of anything. I can cry my heart out to him and nobody will say anything. Think about this, friend. Jesus could not feed the 4,000 until he broke the bread. Jesus broke bread. The symbolicness and the significance is in the breaking of one. Many were fed. Isn't that true? Jesus broke. He literally broke it to feed us. Next one. The sinful woman could not pour the costly perfume on Jesus, the alabaster. She broke it. And when she broke that thing, something happened. The fragrance was so beautiful. You know, maybe God breaks us to bring out the sweetness and fragrance of life. She broke it. She broke it and she blessed the Lord. And such an aroma, such a wonderful smell fell in that room. The sweetness of that perfume. Our lives is like a perfume bottle God wants to break. Amen? Next one. God could not reconcile himself to sinful men until he broke down the walls that separated us. He broke it all. He broke it. It's because he broke. I can cross into it. The veil was torn. I could enter the Holy of Holies. The barriers were lifted up. And I could walk freely into the presence of my God. He broke it. He broke it for us. He did it for us. Next one. We could never know salvation without my Jesus being broken. They broke him. They pierced him. They hung him on the cross. That was his moment of brokenness. That was Jesus' high point in the life of brokenness. He was broken. Broken for you and I. Sometimes the breaking of our lives, it's not only for our self-good. It's for the good of the body of Christ. You know, when this thing happened, the tendency of going to self-pity, why me, Lord? I remember I was sitting down and somebody called and said, Pastor Miso, I heard this. Why does God always do this to your family? And this guy was giving a scolding. Scolding God or scolding me, I don't know. Huh? But I told him, please don't scold me. I'm not in the right mood. I'm not in the right frame of mind. My scolding can be different. So I told him honestly, I said, be careful. And then he said, why? And I said, why not? And he kept quiet. I said, why not? I would have think God would hurt us ministers first because we are the servants. We are the blackboard and the whiteboard to the community. We declare God's goodness. We proclaim. Why wouldn't God test me now? And he quiet. That's my anger coming. He knew. He said, he straight away said, auntie, tell Pastor Miso, I'm sorry. And I thought, why? Please don't ever think you are high above all this. In fact, the closer you go to God, the more you want to be his servant, the more you will be broken. Paul says, I was slashed, I was hammered, I was stoned. I was going through all this breaking because I gave my life to God. And I think through Anne's situation, my kids have found a new way back to God. They found a new way back to God. And they'll be coming for your dinner. Don't worry. All of them have already signed up. And we're coming. And I know God has opened a way to the breaking of our lives. So don't ever despise. You know, when I look at you guys walking in church just now, this picture came to my mind. You are like the alabaster box walking in this morning. And each one of you took a seat. And the aroma that you were bringing was maybe a stench of the world. The stench of that week of hurts, pains, struggles, frustrations, failures. We brought that alabaster box with that stench. And maybe this morning,
God will break your box. God will break your box. If you say, Lord, break my box, that out of that brokenness, I'll bring out an aroma, a sweet-smelling aroma that will reach heaven's high. Amen? You know, I don't know if Anne shared with you, 3 days before, I just shared this testimony, 3 days before she was discovered to have cancer, she had gone for all the mammogram, and as she was sitting in office for 3 days, she had the stench of death. Man, I thought it was me. I said, no, I look good. Look at all the perfume companies I've got around me. Yeah? And then until she had a vision in church, and the stench of death. You know, there's a stench of death that we bring. Maybe God this morning will break your alabaster box. Church, He'll break yours. Can you imagine collectively that sweet-smelling aroma that goes up to heaven's high? All right, that was this morning. I want to share with you a few things that I picked up reading a book. From this book, I picked up there are 4 things. This writer had a wife, a young wife. They were in ministry for a short time, and the Lord took his wife away. And in that few 2.5 years of struggling with his wife, he went and he shared about brokenness, and he shared 4 things that he learned, which I felt it resonates with my heart, it resonates with my situation, and I thought I want to share with you what God is bringing us through. Next one, please. Brokenness is a blessing because it puts us on the road to a breakthrough. Either you can use a breakthrough, a breakout, or break forth, but he will do a breakthrough. Do you believe? I told Anne, whatever the end story is, whether you live or you go to the Lord, there's a victory there. And now I'm preparing to do a Cert 3 certificate on how to cook. Now I got no food at home. Yeah, she hasn't been. Only yesterday, after so long, from the 2nd of July, yesterday was the first time she cooked lamb curry. And I honestly, I said, Anne, this is the first time I'm eating food. Yesterday, I told her, I said, Anne, I said, I better start doing a Cert 3 on cooking. Eh? You know, I tell you, in all this, thank God, we joke about it in his humorous way. I said, I have to do, number two, I said, I have to go and do a good study, and also a TAFE, how to take care of certain things at home, medically, patient. Because sometimes I don't know what to do. Sometimes I say, you're hurting me more than you're supposed to care. See, and I said, but what to do? Because I clean a wound different from she cleaned the wound. I just rub the wound off. So I also must learn how to be a carer now. I said, what chum, you know. I got to go, because I'm looking after, so I'm worried sometimes her wound. Man, you see the wound, it frightens you, man. It takes your pants off, you get shocked. And I said, I'm the type of person, I don't care about wounds. I just leave, I just rub it on the shirt. That's the German way of wound healing. Huh? But now, I have to be gentle. That's the hardest, I tell you, that's the stressful thing for me. I don't know how hard, how to be gentle. And trying to be gentle, I also going, wayang, the fingers going. But I have to learn. Because it's a learning process. I tell you, friend, it's a learning process. I never knew. Now I salute all those of you who are carers. You are really a special breed. But God is going to bring a breakthrough. And I love. And I enjoy the time. And I, first time in my life, listen, literally my whole life, 67 years, this is the first time for nearly 3 weeks I didn't go out. The only thing I went is to clinic and come home. I was never domesticated. Huh? No, honestly, I love to go. I sit. This is the first time I just spend time. Sometimes she's sleeping at home and I sit and I say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? She's sleeping. She comes back, she rests. Every few minutes or hour she go to sleep, I would be out in the coffee shop talking, going here, going there. And I sat down and I said, wow. And I tell you, in this time, I read more books than a few years ago. You know, it's not easy for me to sit down, like to tame me to sit down. It takes a lot, you know. And then I called Kelvin, what are you doing? Come, let's go for coffee. But I tell you, suddenly, as I said, my whole life is going through a transformation. And my kids said, Daddy, how are you feeling at home? I said, I can't express that in a sentence, but I can write the whole story about it. But it's just to sit down and to spend time with her. And now I've got a new assignment because they're going to do chemo on her and she's going back to work. I've got to drive her to office, pick her back. She can't drive. Her left arm doesn't give her much of a grip. And I've got to drive her now. Hallelujah. Uber. The true blue German Uber. Uber driver. I do that for her. And then I can't cook. And I really don't. Honestly, my biggest dilemma is, she said, go and buy this to cook. Even I go to the supermarket, I don't know what to buy. Serious. She's just telling me the names. I said, show me, I don't know. So many, how to know which is bacon, bacon, bacon. I tell you, it's almost, man, re-education for me. I'm not a marketing, I never. But you know, friend, I looked at it, there's joy in it, and I begin to laugh at it. Honestly, I can see the negative and go ballistic, but I look at it and say, God, thank you for the humor, the journey with her. But there's a breakthrough coming. Amen? Come, next slide. The blessing that you go through in brokenness, you gain the blessings of confidence in faith. God wants to build confidence in your faith. You know, having faith is one thing. Having confidence in your faith is the greatest thing. Faith is abstract. Faith is abstract. We all got faith. I got faith. If I sit on a chair, it won't break. Unless Calvin took out a screw. That's faith. That's faith. But to have confidence, knowing that in all I'm going through, God is still with me. That's confidence in faith. They had Jesus in the boat, yet they didn't have confidence. He was in the boat. Is to have confidence. And then as I look through some of you look at Job's life, man. Guys, look at Job. He had the most difficult job. That's why his name was called Job, the job he had to do. He had so much. Yet he could say, blessed be the Lord, for the Lord giveth, the Lord can take. What confidence? His wife said, curse God and die. He said, no. His confidence was not shaken. And as I go through this, I'm looking the confidence that God is building in us to know. Not because the outcome will be good. Even if the outcome is bad, our confidence is in you. In you. My life is in you. I love that song. I begin. You know, nowadays, I listen to a lot of songs and I sing also now. Then sometimes Anne will ask me, what song are you singing? I said, you can't hear? But you know, and I know God is allowing us this, the confidence in faith. Having faith alone doesn't give us confidence. It's our confidence in faith that seals our heart and trust to God. Nothing can shake me. Nothing will happen. Nothing can. 1 Peter says this, it says, then, it says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though your mind endure many trials for a little while. You know, this situation of brokenness, the greatest effect was on my mind. Not my heart. Not that I'm heartless. Please don't get me wrong. Eh? But you know, I had to sit down nights. I can't sleep. I go out and I'm articulating. I'm thinking. And then this word came into my mind, which I learned as a young Christian. He said, thou will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because I trust in you. And Isaiah. And I just, because the mind becomes a battleground now. Why, Lord? How to do? You know, it's constant. You can't sleep. You try to close your eyes, your mind is awake. The enemy torments, tortures. He goes on your mind every day, 24/7. Even end, because of the knowledge of the work she got. And we have to sit down and say, thou will keep us in perfect peace. If our minds is stayed on you because we trust in you, Lord. We change the wording to we. We trust in you, Lord. The enemy wants to shake your confidence. When your confidence is shaken, you will fall. And I know through this time, I'm As God builds my confidence and we build the confidence of our kids that God loves you. God is not a wicked God. Because one of my kids asked the mother, why you and daddy have served God so well? You see what is the thought in the thought trend of people? Because you serve God, you cannot get sick. Because you serve God, you cannot be hurt. What's the thought trends? And I said, no, God is not hurting mommy. God loves mommy. We are all on lease. Our lease will expire. And we go back to the rightful owner. I'm on lease. And actually, we were joking. I think 2015, when Anne was sitting with me in the clinic, the doctor told me, he said, Pastor Mitchell, you're living on borrowed time. Make sure you take care of your time. And I thought, I'll go first. I bought my ticket, validated, make sure updated. Then suddenly she got this. And then you see the frailty of life. But you know one thing? My confidence is still in God. It will take a lot to knock me off because I have been a sinner saved by grace. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, but I was found by the grace of God. And thus, I have built this whole life in the grace of God. So build your confidence, church. Look at us. If we go through, we are a sounding board and a wife. Don't lose your confidence. Don't let your confidence be empowered that God is still in control. And I know that as you go through brokenness, this is what God wants to do. To build the confidence that I'm still God. I'm still your God. I still love you. I can still feel His love. I still know His love. I still experience moments with Him. Because I know He loves me. It's just like parents, we deal and discipline our kids. Not because we are tyrants, I hope not. Not because we are abusers, I hope not. But we do it because we love them. Tough love. David Wilkerson's way of loving. Love with a toughness. Amen. Number two. I believe through my brokenness that I will learn to have compassion for others. Compassion for others. It's so frightening sometimes when we can become, you know, I tell you, in 2 Corinthians, it says beautifully, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our suffering, you'll also share in the comfort God gives you. God allows us to go through. You know, like Anne was quite anxious for a job because she's my breadwinner for the home. And she was afraid she'd lose her job because 2 weeks before her confirmation, she discovered she got cancer. And the first thing she called her office and said, will I lose my job? And they assured her, no, you will take it. And then she asked the boss, how would the people relate to me if they know I'm also a cancer patient dealing with people in the end of their life? And then I told her, I said, Anne, listen, you will become a more powerful carer because you're going through the same thing. You know how people will feel and look at you? You are in cancer, yet you visit, encourage me. How powerful the comfort will be. How strong would your voice be to that couple or to the individual person that I'm hurting? In the hurt, I'm helping you. So the bigger picture of brokenness is not only you, it's a community that God wants to put you in, that you can be a comfort to so many. Sometimes we cannot comprehend things until we go through things. Knowing things is one. Being part of that is another thing. Comfort. The world needs comfort. There are a lot of people there hurting. You know, someone said we can walk the streets and see people and not knowing that they are lonely. hurting, breaking up, contemplating suicide, end of life. Maybe through this time, the softness of God's love goes through your heart. You become more compassionate, more caring. Thirdly, sometimes brokenness brings us closer to God. There are some people who come to church Christmas, Easter. Maybe when they get a crisis, they are 365 days in the church. Sometimes God allows brokenness because He is yearning and longing for closeness. You know, that's one thing I was really struggling with. I am actually very dependent on Anne. I'm sure most of you know. I love her. She's been a strength and a fortress to me. And I thought about this. If she's gone, you know, how lonely would I be? My kids have their own life. I won't stop them from having their life. I'm not going to be a burden on them for their lives. And I thought, you know, I looked at myself. I won't last long because we feed off one another, Anne and me. But then, you know, when I was going through this, God said, just as you long for that, I long for you. He said, I want to be close to you. He says, in your heart, there should be no rival, no equal. I'm a jealous God, only you. And it was painful to think that, because it's not easy to write off if somebody's gonna. But I sat down and I shared with her, and she asked me, how would life be without me? I said, man, don't ask me questions like this. I'm hungry now. I haven't eaten good food. Eh? Yeah, I took my mind off. I go to food. I said, I haven't eaten good food. You asked me about this. Huh? And then she said, no, serious. And then I thought, I said, it will change. It will affect me. But you know, one thing I want to believe, that God won't forsake me. Not that I've been far from God, but God wants us closer, closer, closer. The more close, I love that song. It says, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. I will linger, I will stay, till your likeness be seen in me. Hallelujah. That, you know, these few days I just listened to old hymns, you know. And then I heard this morning, I woke up to this beautiful hymn, Pass Me Not, O Lord. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Loneliness is painful. But one thing, be assured, God will never leave us alone. God allows us to draw us closer. Love God, friend. Whatever you do, love God. I told my kids, Daddy has gone through a lot. Daddy is a warrior. I got scars. But each scar speaks of a story. And each scar is a testimony of His goodness. Not my heroism, but Him. Amen? So don't be hurt. God draws us closer. Just like I like to be close to my kids. I like people. This is the first time in my life. Listen, church. First time in 67 years, I spend the days alone. Not with. I can go with true withdrawal now. Eh? I can be taken to a center for. I got addiction. I am addicted to people. But I'm honestly. And I don't even call anyone. I don't. Pastor Kelvin, he's my closest friend. I would call him every time. Get off your computer, come, we go coffee. No, but I must say, he always makes time for me. But I have, you know why? I myself want to bang my head. Is it true that I don't go out, don't go for coffee, nothing? I tried to make an appointment with Malcolm, but didn't work out. I'm trying to find ways to go out. The only time, the other day, Pastor Kelvin called me. And then he said, shall we go and eat food? There are other options. I said, no option. For me, it's opportunity. I want to talk to people. I don't care about the options. I want the opportunity to come out. Not that I don't love my wife. But you know, I'm not caged. Eh? I'm a wild kind of guy. I soar high. I run far. Amen. Hallelujah. No, but I'm learning to sit home and read. But you know, God is good. I've gone closer to the Lord in so many ways. My heart has been opened to the Lord. I'm spending time with my kids, which I really want to do. Talk to them, joke with them, laugh, go lunch with their girlfriends around the same table. We sit at home. though the food don't taste good, but the fellowship is awesome. I'm very biased. I love the Lo Mai Kai. Oh, man. The person who brought that to my house made my day. I tell you, it tastes, I just said only two, but it's okay. But it was... But I tell you, it brought joy just, and we sat down and we shared, and Anne said, well, I better start eating because her chemo is kicking in a week's time. But you know, God is close to us, friend. The closeness is something that I can't share, spell out to you, but I experience. Lastly, in all of this, God wants to create the Christ-likeness in my character. And by Christ-like. And I want to read to you some of the verses that I put there because I want you to know. If you go back, look at it. 1 Peter says, same thing as I read, but then he says, you love me even though I've never seen you. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be salvation of your souls. Wow. In 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14, it says, what does Peter say about suffering? Listen, I say, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. That word partnership with Christ requires suffering. Paul said, I count it all joy to suffer for you, Lord. If you love your wife and if you love your husband, you go through suffering for the love. Amen? If you love your kids, when they're going through a difficult time, that's when they need you the most. To be a partner. And I said, Lord, you know, in a law firm, to be a partner is something big. And here Jesus is offering you today a partnership in the kingdom of God through his suffering. I take it, friend. I take it. I want that partnership. I want that partnership. In Galatians 6, 17 to 18, it says, from now on, don't let anyone trouble you with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to him. The suffering scars you, and every scar reminds you you belong to him. Amen? Revelations 1, 19. Says, I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus called us. I was exiled on the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. I am your partner. You know, just because of Anne's thing, even when Chris is a blessing to us. Huh? We'll never forget that. But his boss has been gracious to give us a lot of favor. The other day, he was drinking coffee and Anne walked up to him and sat down and talked to him. And he asked me, the boss asked me, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. And I asked him, are you a Christian? He said, not. You know, people don't want to say no. But, you know, it gave me this confidence. I have never been afraid to ask people if you're a Christian. I don't care about the white paper or the political... It's okay. I just asked you. I didn't ask you to be a Christian. I'm asking you a question. Are you a Christian? There's no proselyting. Nothing. I'm just asking you a question. Just like, have you eaten? I didn't tell you. You must eat. No. And I asked him and talked. And a lot of the nurses, even in the Mitcham, we talked to the nurses. You know, he gave us an opportunity to share. You know, did Anne tell you in the hospital, she was in room 205? The second last room, the room 206 is the last. The night my kids came, we were laughing. You know, we brought joy to Anne. And then I realized there was a patient next door, a young lady, 40-something. I thought she was single. We were laughing till midnight. The nurse told me, Pastor, she called me, don't so loud. I said, louder. She said, yeah, very loud. I can hear you from there. So I said, okay. In the morning, I went to the lady to say sorry. I walked in, I saw her. I came in, I said, how are you? Good morning. She said, come. I walked in and she said, come. She said, is that your wife? I thought, I thought she's thinking, that's my mistress. I was having a party last night. Yeah. I said, yes. She said, please do me a favor. Go tell your wife I'm praying for her. Yeah, I'm saying, going to say sorry. I look at her. What to say? I said, where in the world people praying for another patient? Then I looked at her. I saw the first time I saw her husband come. He didn't even come in to see her. He came to the ward. She opened the door. He talked to her through the window with a dog. And 5 minutes they left. And she sat down for 3 days all alone. And she told Anna the next day she walked. She said, whatever y'all were doing, it was such a joy. It was music and inspiration to me. Be careful, friend. Sometimes there are lonely people that need us. I went to apologize because I know my voice is loud. You don't have to tell me. Eh? Sometimes I also ask, why you talk so loud? I talk to myself, why you talk so loud? Seriously, honestly. Sometimes I get carried. I say, why do you talk so loud? Like, you know, I try to, why? Tone down. People can hear. But we talked and then found out, wow, she's going through. And she was going. And then Anne discovered this lady works in the same agency as she worked, but in a different department. And she's going through cancer in the throat. She may lose her voice. And I thought, wow, you know, there are a lot of sick people. Maybe there's an opportunity to go and be a Christ-like person to them. Yeah. We went to the oncologist. The first thing we walk in the oncology is the first appointment is $300, friend. He didn't even talk to you. It's $300. What he talked to you, I don't know. It's going to cost what? Huh? And Anne asked him this question. Said, doctor, she said, please listen. We are not rich people. I'm the only income earner. My husband is a pastor. We don't have regular. Please let me know what are the charges for. He said, listen, he made a statement which I tell you, it brings shame to a lot of Christians. He looked at Anne. He said, hey, Elizabeth, you're a nurse. She said, yes, I've been 20 years, she said, in God's delivery, the room of God's delivery all life. Huh? She said, now I'm in God's waiting room, the last one. And then he looked at it, he said, listen, Elizabeth, he said, listen, we take care of our people. And I looked at her, she looked at me. I said, if only the church of God, the Christians who call themselves, resonate that same statement to one another, what a powerful church we are. And he said, forget about money. Don't everything I'll bank bill you. $300 to zero. Suddenly I said, come on, and let's go there often. No, but but friend, listen. And we shared, and I told him, and he said, we are a pastor. And he said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a retired, and but I go out and preach. And he said, Ethan, we take care of our own. Wow. You know, that word, that statement has so much depth in it. And to make it through every appointment and when. He didn't charge. And we just stood there. We see the person paying $300 and we stand there and he said, okay. And he's one of the top surgeons here. Michael Law is a guy from Hong Kong, 40 plus. And you know, friend, the Christ-like character will always gain favor because God's favor is on you. God's favor. But you know, friend, don't worry about all that. Just remember, when God breaks you, He molds you. When He breaks you, He makes you. When He breaks you, He forms you to the perfect personality, character that He so desires. Remember, I am the potter. You are the clay. Mold me, make me, break me. I will do all to make you my masterpiece out there. Do you want to be God's masterpiece? Let Him break you. The Bible says, we are God's masterpiece. Let Him break you. Or in the brokenness, joy will spring forth. But let me give you a word of caution. As you go through the brokenness, don't look at all this. Look at God. Amen? Look at God. Because all this is written in the heart of God. All this is written in the face of God. As you look on it, it transfers into you. In your presence. In your presence. Fullness of joy. I will linger. I'll stay, Lord, till your likeness is in me, that the world can see Christ in me. Amen? The world sees broken things as discardable. They discard you. God sees broken things as mendable. He can make something beautiful. Amen? Pray along with us as we go through this. It's a long journey, 13 months of chemo. We're going to face a lot of emotional changes, mood swings. I don't know how, but I'm trusting God to walk with us as we go through. And I know one thing, that it's three of us working, me and the Holy Spirit. God is with us. He'll never forsake. He rocks up at the right time. He brings the right people. He sets the right platform. He always sets it for you. Amen? Be blessed, church. Be blessed. Be blessed. Because God wants to bless us. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, we can't put gratitude in words for what you do for our lives, Lord. But what we can do as gratitude is to give you our lives, Lord. My life I give to you, Lord. My circumstance, you ordain, O Lord. My journey was prepared by you. My walk is determined by you, Lord. I choose to walk with you, Lord. I choose. Bless us as a church as we go through 10th anniversary, Lord. May we never forget our humble beginnings, where we came. And may we never forget who brought us here. And may we celebrate as a community that loves you, a community that cares for one another, a community that wants to get close to you, a community that wants to be like you, Lord. Bless the church and bless each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.